Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 3 Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where little white ball is life. I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone. How's it going, T-Bone?
Doing well. Happy to be here on this lovely Monday evening.
That's right. That's right. T-Bone was out of town again, but he survived the weekend once again.
Barely.
It was a bachelor party, right?
It was. I made it back, kind of. Gained a few pounds.
Yes. But
we're here.
We're here. We're here to talk some golf with you. So we want to say thank you to our friends at Golf Smart for letting us record here. We are missing KJ for this one. Sorry, KJ. Hope you're having a good night tonight. We'll catch you on the next one. Now, we have a special guest.
Yes, sir.
We have Mr. Trey Cassidy.
How's it going?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Yes. Welcome.
Welcome. T-Bone said, lovely Monday. I do have a question, though. Where was your bachelor party at?
It was in Austin, Texas.
Austin.
Mm-hmm. We were on a party bus on Saturday night.
Uh-oh.
Got on the party bus at about 2:30 a.m., heading back to our Airbnb, which was about an hour away. And we're all chilling, drinking, having a good time. Next thing we know, we have a blown out tire on the party bus.
Oh, no.
That happened at about 3:15. Then we got another party bus that took us home and rolled into bed at about 4 a.m.
Goodness gracious.
It was a glorious night of sleep.
Well, they're making memories.
The reason I was asking is because Preston last week is engaged.
He is.
To my sister.
Yes.
Wow. I'm going to be his best man, so I've got to plan the bachelor party coming up, so I'm just taking any and all ideas.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a good point.
It's worked out well. I can maybe give you some pointers after this.
So first things first, don't get a party bus.
Correct. That's make sure, check the tires first.
Or maybe not get an Airbnb an hour away.
Yeah, stay closer to the city.
Yeah. I got some tips for you.
All right. We'll talk about it afterwards.
Right. Well, Trey is a professional golfer here in the Houston area. We had Preston Stanley on last week. Trey and Preston played golf together at HBU. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, actually, I've known Preston since we were junior high school days.
I'm about to say, me and Trey, Preston, T-Bone, KJ, we all played junior golf together.
Yes, sir.
And so
good old days.
It really is cool. It really is cool seeing some guys that we grew up playing with who are professionals now and, you know, trying literally living the dream to play on the PGA Tour.
Yep, that's what we'll call it.
The dream, hashtag goals. That's what they're going for. So before we dive into it with Trey, check us out on social media at 3UnderParPod. That is the number 3UnderParPod across Twitter and Instagram. We are up now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So whoever you're listening to this, please subscribe and write us a review and give us a 5-star rating. But most importantly, tell a friend about the podcast. Those who love golf, we're doing this because we love golf, and hopefully you'll enjoy our commentary enough to want to tell a friend. Let's dive into it now. We got a lot to get into for this episode. Congratulations to Adam Long. Adam Long won the PGA Tour tournament this
who?
Week.
Who? Yep.
Who? Adam yep. Long.
Hey, I would love, and I think Trey would love to be the guy. Is who is he? But he won a tournament on the PGA Tour.
Absolutely.
So Adam Long. I'm not going to lie, I didn't really watch the Desert Open this week. Did y'all have a chance to watch it?
Desert Open or Desert Classic?
It's probably Desert Classic. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the two guys who are two under par. Are we the 2 under par podcast today?
We're still 3 under par. We got to remain consistent for the brand.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's for the brand.
Yeah, but I think we'll go ahead and be a little upfront. We didn't really, the two guys here on the podcast who are supposed to know golf and that kind of stuff, we didn't watch it at all, because why would we? It was a damn good day for football.
Mostly football, among doing other things. You know, the Chiefs and the Patriots game, the Saints and the Rams. It was pretty good, I'm not going to lie.
Mm, yeah.
Well, did the actual golfer here watch part of the tournament?
I watched the very last hole. I flipped it over. I can't even remember what game was on at that time, but I flipped it over when that game was at halftime. I guess it was the Saints. I don't remember. And they were in a three-way tie between Phil, Adam Hadwin, and Adam Long going into the last hole. And I saw Long hit, I guess he hit the shot of his life. Yeah, I mean, that second shot was just unbelievable. And I want to know what was going on in his brain. When he's walking down the 18th fairway tied with Phil Mickelson.
Yes.
For his first PGA Tour win ever. It's just, and you know, nobody knows who he is.
Yep.
I just want to know what's going on in his mind, because I know I mean, I would have been shitting bricks.
That was a ballsy shot that he hit.
Oh, absolutely.
On 18 with the ball so far below his feet, and I'm sure it was even worse than it looked on TV, because the cameras don't necessarily do it justice in terms of slopes. And there's water on the left, and he hits it to like 8 feet.
Yep.
And that putt's not easy, because I'm sure y'all saw the replay of Phil's putt. It looked like it was going in all the way from like 30 or 40 feet.
I didn't see Phil's putt, no.
Yeah, it looked like it was going in. It just dove hard at the hole and barely missed. And so Adam Long gets up there. He's probably thinking, don't leave it on the amateur side.
Well, that's the impressive thing. He backed the shot up by making the putt.
He did.
I would also say one thing that had to have helped was going first in that. He definitely put some pressure on, hits it to like 8 feet.
Yeah.
Hadwin just chokes it into the bunker, and then Phil was a little short. So that had to have been a pretty good feeling, just getting it on the green and knowing you have a good shot at it.
Yeah. But yeah, congrats to him. That's great.
Absolutely.
It's always good to see the guys you don't know win, especially when you're a mini tour guy.
Right. And, you know, based off everything that I've read and I've heard about Adam Long, he seems like really one of the good guys out there that's been really trying to make it. He's literally had to work his way up from many tours, you know, going through the McKenzie Tour in Canada, through Latin America, and then Web.com, all the way up until the PGA Tour. And so I saw a stat that his entire... So Adam Long turned pro in 2010 after graduating from Duke, and his career earnings to date, or before the weekend, was $585,563. And then he won over $1 million this week.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about life-changing. That is truly life-changing right there. And I love it.
Yep.
I mean, the money, and not only, like, the perks that come from that win are probably bigger than the money he got.
He gets to play
the Masters.
Yeah, some perks. He gets to play in Hawaii next year. The Masters, the Players, the Tournament of Champions in Kapalua. Pretty much every Invitational, every WGC. And also, he gets a 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, he gets job security. That's the big deal.
Absolutely.
I mean, he gets full status for 2 years.
That's amazing.
That's the thing.
And T-Bone had an interesting point that he wanted to bring up.
So, we talk about all this shit this guy's gone through. He worked his way up, grinding it out on some of the smaller tours. And it's a feel-good story, like, that this guy won. But as a golf fan, no one ever cheers for the underdog. I mean, so I think it was on 16, Phil missed like a big eagle putt, and the crowd just died. Like, it was the most upset roar.
Yeah.
It was probably bigger than the roar than his winning putt, Long's winning putt. And it's weird because it's almost every sport you at least have a decent majority of people cheering for an underdog.
Absolutely.
But in golf, no. You want Phil to win.
Yeah, you want Phil, the big names.
Want Adam Hadwin to win over this guy.
Well, Phil is especially like that. I remember a story. I was at a golf tournament with my dad, and Phil was playing with Shingo Katayama and Ernie Els. And they're walking up to the tee box, and everyone is just yelling for Phil. You know, go Phil, yada, yada. And then as soon as everyone gets quiet, my dad goes, "Let's go, Shingo! Come on!" It was great.
It was probably Shingo's only fan out there.
Probably. There we go.
But it just, like, and you think, like, other sports, like, who was cheering for the Patriots last? I mean, a lot of people were, but you have so many damn people cheering for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were Adam Long. Yeah. Not even, really.
not really. They're probably more like Adam Hadwin.
Yeah. Not even, really. I don't know. But no one likes the underdog in golf, and it makes you wonder why, because it's such a good story.
Well,
yeah.
Even at the PGA Championship last year, Brooks Koepka, who was, I think at that point, ranked number one or right there, everybody was cheering for Tiger.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of talked about it on our picks episode, or our majors prediction episode, but everybody was cheering for Tiger, and Brooks Koepka is kind of the low-key guy out there.
Yeah.
But he's a 3-time major champion, but he's the underdog compared to Tiger.
Yeah.
And so everybody's cheering for Tiger. I mean,
that was a different deal. That was the comeback story, though.
That's true.
Was Tiger's comeback deal.
Yeah, but I feel like Tiger and Phil are kind of in that same conversation.
I would agree
with everybody wants them to win. Nowadays, I would probably include Jordan Spieth on that list, Rory McIlroy.
Yep.
Maybe Dustin Johnson,
yep,
if you want to include him. But it's a very small list.
That is a good point, though, that you bring up. You know, the Patriots are the best, and they've been the best for the 10 years, and everyone wants them to lose. But then you have Tiger and Phil, all who've been the best, and everyone still wants them to win.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that kind of transitions us to Phil. I want to talk about him just a little bit. I mean, I don't think he lost the tournament by any means. I mean, putter kind of failed him on Sunday, I feel like. Phil shot 60.
I know.
To open the tournament. Can you imagine shooting freaking 60 and losing?
He almost shot his age.
He almost did.
Yeah.
I mean, like, goodness gracious. If I'm shooting par, I'm feeling really good these days. But I cannot imagine shooting 60 and then losing the golf tournament.
I can't either. I can't imagine shooting 60.
Every tournament, we're going to also include an honorable don't mention. And we're going to give a shout-out to the person who finished last in the tournament. Not made the cut and finished last, but the person who finished dead last.
DFL.
Yes, the DFL.
Dead fucking last.
Dead, yes. So the honorable don't mention this week goes to Grayson Murray. He went to Arizona State. Congratulations, Grayson Murray.
Woo.
We'll give you the shout-out here. He's 25 years old, turned pro in 2015. His best finish so far is T41 at the Safeway Open. So he's probably struggling a little bit to start the year, but Grayson Murray does have a PGA Tour win. He won the 2017 Barbasol Championship. So he is a PGA Tour winner, but hey, you know, that's golf. Sometimes you have bad weeks, and he finished dead fucking last.
At the end of the day, he gets to play golf for a living. He's on the PGA Tour, so.
Yeah.
That's right.
Not a bad gig.
Yes.
He gets to shoot 11 over par occasionally, which is what he shot.
Oh, okay, 11 over. There we go.
I mean, I get to shoot 11 over par occasionally, too, and some days I'm pretty happy with that.
Absolutely. No doubt. that's kind of it. So we want to dive into a few headlines here before we do like a little Q&A session with Trey.
Right on.
So, guys, the Farmers Insurance this week is at Torrey Pines, and Tiger Woods is back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just like Texas football, baby.
we're
yes. back. All
right. Oh, man.
We're back.
Man, I'm so excited that Tiger's coming back this week. So I will definitely be tuning in to this week to Torrey Pines. Also, Torrey Pines, though, and he's a great golf course.
Oh, yeah. What are your expectations for him?
I hope he makes the cut. I know people probably have higher expectations from him for this week, but as long as he makes the cut, I think he is headed in the right direction.
Yep. Is Phil playing?
He's Phil not for the first time in 28, 29 years.
Mm. Something like that, because he lives in San Diego.
Probably.
And
probably.
He, yeah.
I was hoping Tiger get his revenge on Phil.
Yeah.
Phil, I kind of looked into this. Phil basically just said, like, I've played in this tournament for 28, 29 years. I owe it to the people of San Diego, and I'm going to make it up to him. But honestly, he's like, I'm just, like, too old. That was basically, like...
Well, he said, too, that the course doesn't fit his eye very well.
Which doesn't make sense to me. I think the most relatable comparison we have to this was Tim Duncan in his later years just sitting out a regular season game. You know, he's just kind of old, and he's going to play when he wants. And
right. Well, I think a lot of it has to do also with the schedule change for this year. Like, I know Adam Scott came out, and he said he's not playing in any WGCs this year, which is crazy.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why.
I mean, WGCs, those are the top players in the world.
Right.
There's no cut, so you get to play all 4 days. It doesn't make sense that he's not playing in those, but he said to his schedule, it just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And that goes with the schedule change. It's a more condensed schedule this year on the PGA Tour.
Well, back to Phil. I mean, he lives in San Diego, doesn't he?
He does.
So I don't understand what the problem is with playing in it. It's not like he's going. There's no traveling.
It doesn't fit my eye. You've been playing the course for your entire life.
I know.
Has he won there?
He's had to have.
He's been hanging in there, though. The older he gets, I mean,
he led this week in driving distance, and he's 48 years old. Are you kidding me?
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, he can still obviously get it out there. He's famous for his short game.
Yeah.
So if he can just put it all together, I mean, what did he shoot, like 27 under this week and lost? That makes no sense.
Yeah, something like that.
I just see Phil. The more I kind of think about his career and kind of how it's winding down, I just see in the future him pulling off like a 86 Jack Nicklaus Masters. He's just going to be old and fat, and he's just going to be in the tournament for one of these majors in like 10 or 15 years.
Well, who knows? It might be at the U.S. Open, yeah. Pebble Beach, get that career Grand Slam.
That'd be the one.
Could be.
That would be it.
Who cares? I mean, this is, I'll be pretty transparent. This is like the biggest tournament of the year so far for me. I haven't watched a single tournament really, and I'm starting a golf podcast. I'm being transparent with the with the listeners.
Yep.
But I'll watch this one. It's a good tournament. Excited to see Tiger. Not the end of the world that Phil's not going
to
be there.
Absolutely. Well, that just kind of goes back to Tiger moves the needle, man.
He does. I mean, absolutely.
He's going to play, so I'm going to watch.
Yep.
Yeah. So on that, I saw a headline too. Larry Fitzgerald was playing golf with President Obama this weekend.
Yeah, I saw that too.
At the Seminole Golf Club, which is a very exclusive, in terms of exclusivity, it's up there with Augusta National and Cypress Point. And he had a hole in one.
Drano Babano.
Playing with President Obama. How cool is that?
Yeah.
A, I've never gotten a hole in one. That's still on my Twitter profile. I'm still waiting for my first hole in one.
Yeah.
And he gets one playing with President Obama. That is so cool.
Yep. I have one, but I was by myself. So nobody.
So it doesn't count.
But you were playing at Seminole, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Both my sisters have. Grace has two, and Caitlin has three.
What?
And I'm getting my ass kicked.
We got to step it up.
And I've got half one because I was by myself.
We need to start playing some easier courses then.
I know. Or just sit on a par three till I make one.
Right.
Yeah. Just get a bucket of balls. Yeah. And tee it up.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's really cool. Congrats to Larry Fitzgerald. Obviously he's a Hall of Famer in the NFL. Avid golfer though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this last fall he's literally given an interview and he stops the interview in the locker room and he's like, "Oh, Tiger. Oh, Tiger."
Yeah. I remember that. That was great. Yes.
That was awesome. Which I'm sure we'll see Larry Fitzgerald.
That was at the PGA, I think, is when that was.
Yeah, that's when Tiger was making his charge.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if it was that tour championship.
So Larry and all of America were going, "Oh, we made Eagle." All right.
And you know the Cardinals didn't really give a shit about football this year, so.
No.
He was just watching golf.
Yeah. Hey, everybody's going to tune in there. Everybody's going to tune in this year because of Cliff Kingsbury.
Ooh. Oh, do we have golf gossip coming up?
We do have
bit?
Golf gossip coming up for y'all. We got some good stuff. We're probably gonna post on golf gossip here. Before we get there though, some local news. The Houston Open officially has a spot on the calendar for 2019. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Super pumped about that.
Absolutely.
It's big stuff.
Yep. The Houston Open this year will be played still at the Golf Club of Houston, October 7th through the 13th. Two-time U.S. Open champion Brooks Koepka has already committed to playing.
Wow.
Which is great.
That's awesome.
Huge. Huge on that. So it's going to be the last year at the Golf Club of Houston before they go to Memorial Park. Right?
You know Brooks is dealing that, right? He's So who I can't remember the name of the designer who's going to come in and kind of
It's Tom Doak.
Redo Memorial Tom Doak.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in a PGA Tour consultant player who's going to consult with them, and it's Brooks Koepka.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Nice.
That makes sense. Hopefully guys like Brooks Koepka will commit to it. I mean, selfishly, I hope that. But we'll see. I'm just excited we officially have a spot on the calendar for 2019, and then hopefully we'll get a new spot once it's moved to Memorial Park.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. All right, transitioning now to golf gossip with T-Bone. So, T-Bone, what did you see in the golf gossip world?
Yeah, so pretty juicy story out again, once as usual here on Golf Gossip. So some results came from Lucas Glover's wife, Krista Glover.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little background on this for those of you that aren't familiar with this. So last May at the Players' Championship, this is all alleged right now. I'm not going to say facts I don't know here on Golf Gossip. This is all alleged. But Krista maybe had a few too many Chardonnays. Lucas played like shit at the Players.
He did not play well.
And she basically had a bitch fit, got drunk and crazy, and apparently was just attacking Lucas verbally and physically. In addition to his mother, got physical, called the cops.
Mother-in-law. Whoa.
Yeah, that's big time. That's not good. Apparently it got so bad she was resisting arrest into the patrol car. And shit went crazy. If you see this mugshot, this lady is staring through your soul. Yeah. It is creepy. Yeah. So it is alleged. Sounds pretty true to me if you see this mugshot. As far as some of the reports, what was initially reported is that she would not face jail time. agreed to 25 hours of community service, has to undergo health and substance counseling, and then also received 12 months probation. Mm-hmm. So this is what originally came out. Lucas was recently interviewed, and he basically said none of that happened.
Yep.
He said there was no probation. Krista does not have to undergo substance and mental health counseling. And he said the reason he hasn't been commenting is because of legal issues. So I kind of didn't know who to believe, but another really sketchy thing about this is they recently renewed their wedding vows.
They did. I saw that.
So take what you want with that. Seems a little sketchy. Kind of seems like a cover-up. I think everything that was reported did happen.
Well, Lucas Glover said, quote, "I can now say she never hit me. I don't know why it was reported like that. We had to stay quiet until the case was over when we felt strongly that this would be the result. We had to take the high road and say nothing, which was difficult. There were a lot of things we wanted to straighten out in the report, but we couldn't." So it makes sense, though, that you don't necessarily want to talk about it, because that's not – like, you don't want to air your dirty laundry out for everybody.
Yeah. You can't really blame the guy. It's – I've always liked Lucas Glover. It sucks. He's got to go through this.
Yep.
Because – honestly, outside of golf, there's not a lot of juicy gossip. And like when something like this does happen, it's blowing up and everyone wants to know what's going to happen. And
yeah. Just like Tiger.
Yeah.
Yes.
What year was that? 2010?
Yeah, that little thing that he did. Yeah, that.
RIP to the fire hydrant.
I wish we had golf gossip. Golf gossip.
Golf
gossip back then. Man, we'd have a whole couple weeks on that.
That's right. So, Trey, before we get into the little Q&A session over here, I want to get into Brandel Chamblee's tweeting over the weekend. Did y'all have a chance to see?
I don't follow that too.
Brandel Chamblee. So Brandel Chamblee had some hot takes over the weekend. It was after Phil shot his 60. I believe it was the morning drive, tweeted out, "If Phil were to end his career today, where would he rank in terms of all-time golfers that are listed out?"
Okay.
So where would y'all put Phil? I'll put him at least top 10.
Oh, top 10 for sure.
I need to see the major count and all that stuff, but Phil the Thrill's top 10.
Right. I mean, Phil is at least one of the best golfers of our generation, 100%.
And we're talking, what are we talking? Strictly playing or overall what he's done for golf?
I think in terms of wins. Just like in terms of like him on the golf course. Not his impact off the course, but his impact on the course. How many wins, majors.
Well, he's already in the Hall of Fame and he's still playing.
Yep. And which is badass.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he's had to play against Tiger his whole career.
Yeah.
That didn't help.
Right. A Brandel Chamblee quote tweeted it and he said, "At his peak, he's close to 11, but overall in his career, he's not in the discussion." And then he gives his list of the all-time best golfers.
All right.
According to Bill Felber's metrics. And I'm not sure. He talks a lot about standard deviation. Look, stats was my best class in college, so I'm not really mm-hmm. sure exactly what all this means. But he didn't have – so he gave his top 15 – Phil Mickelson was not on this list. Neither was Tom Watson, which a lot of people have beef with. Brandel totally got ratioed on this tweet. It was bad. He said number one was Jack Nicklaus, two Walter Hagen, three Sam Snead, four Tiger Woods, and five Gene Sarazen. And then after that, it's Hogan, Nelson. 8 and 9 are Jim Barnes and McDonald Smith.
Yeah, see, Phil's ahead of those guys.
Yeah.
If you don't know who they are, I don't know how you can put them ahead of Phil.
Right. And then the rounded out, it's Player, Jones, Taylor, Varden, Arnold Palmer, and Magrum. I don't know who some of these people are.
He has Palmer that far back too.
Yeah, Palmer at 14.
So he disserviced Tiger, he disserviced Phil, and he disserviced
Tom Watson.
Tom Watson.
Yeah.
And I can't remember those.
So then Brandon went on a long tweeting rant after this, and it was like, and then he was talking about, you know, Tiger at his peak is, you know, the greatest ever, like that 5-year round between 2000 and 2005. Right. Yeah, nobody can argue. Like, that is some of the best golf that's ever been played, with the Tiger Slam thrown in there. And it was just, it was stupid, that run.
Oh, according to Will Schnapper's statistics, he's not in the top. Oh, fuck that. Randall Chamblee, that's the biggest bullshit I've ever heard. Who cares what a bunch of old hickory-shafted dusty fucks were doing out on the golf course back in the 1800s? Phil the Thrill's in the top 10.
Yeah, which is weird because me and T-Bone talked about it on the second episode about how a lot of the, you know, quote-unquote majors, a lot of them were taken away. For example, McDonald Smith, he won 5 Western Opens. Now, at that time, the Western Open was considered a major, but according to today's metrics,
yeah,
that's not.
Listen, Brandel, if it's prior to 1830, it doesn't matter. How about that?
Right. Well, yeah, sorry, I'm not sure if McDonald Smith won 5, but he won a lot of Western Opens. But Walter Hagen won 16 majors in his era. 5 of them were for sure Western Opens. Mm. And so that kind of transitioned to Brandel talking about what's a major. Does he consider the 4 majors? And he said, I look at today's tour as having the big 5 events. No longer in my eyes are there 4 majors. It's the big 5 events. The Players is every bit the event that the PGA, Masters, US Open, and the Open are. And that tweet got a lot of people riled up on it. Because, you know, there's some people who don't consider the Players to be a major.
I mean, this just sounds like he's the Skip Bayless of golf. I mean, he's just kind of putting shit up. Maybe he believes it, but I don't know.
I do have a lot of respect for Brandel Chamblee. I don't like a lot of his takes that he has on Golf Channel, but he is so well prepared and he does a lot of research. The guy's truly a student of the game of golf. So I definitely respect that. And every argument he makes, he can back it up with a lot of statistics and everything to go along with it. In this case, I just think he's wrong.
Can he back up putting Tiger at 4?
According to the sabermetrics, he can. Yeah, I don't know. So Brandel Chamblee, you know, I respect it. I just totally disagree with that. If you don't have Tiger at 1 or 2, like if you want to go overall career, I can understand putting Nicklaus ahead of Tiger.
Oh, yeah, he's still got more majors too.
Right.
You can make the argument for Jack or Tiger, but how in the hell do you put Tiger at 4? I don't even know who the other two were that you said were before him. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
It was Snead and Walter Hagen. Okay, so Sam Snead has him on the PGA Tour wins right now.
What does Hagen have him on?
Well, if you count the Western Open, it's
not Bimbo Slade.
Again, they were using hickory shafts. Let's have a different argument with...
Right.
Yeah, it's just...
I mean, but even then, Harry Vardon won, you know, 6 Open Championships. I think that record still stands to this day.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. I just, you know, Brandel totally got ratioed on that tweet, which generally means it's a bad take. Okay, so that closes out golf gossip. Thanks. We'll keep you updated on the Glover situation and Brandel Chamblee. Hot takes, man. Hot takes. Okay, so we're going to transition to more of a little bit Q&A types. Session with Trey here. So again, Trey, thanks for coming in. We really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Glad,
you know, we were kind of
glad to come.
Yeah, we were kind of hectic on our schedule here today, but it worked out. So Trey, give us a little background on you. Where'd you grow up? And also how'd you get into golf?
I grew up in Katy. I played at River Ridge out in Sealy, Texas growing up.
R.I.P.
Was that Hurricane Harvey that knocked that course out?
Eventually. Mm. From what
it's kind of like nailed in the coffin, right?
The weird thing was that it opened up after, and then it closed down like 3 months after it opened up. So something happened with the owner and the city of Sealy and trying to sell it, all that stuff. But anyway, I grew up out there. I played high school golf at Katy High School. That's how I met Scott and T-Bone over here.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I just played in high school, played some TJGT stuff, played a few AJGAs here and there, and went to Houston Baptist, just like Preston last week. Me and Preston were roommates for 4 years.
Man. So, yeah, I'm sure you got to know him pretty well.
Yeah.
You got to get to know him even better.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
And can't wait.
Y'all won a conference championship, right?
Yeah. Well, that was the year I redshirted. So I just had moral support that year, but I got the bling.
Hey, it takes the team, right?
Yeah.
It takes the team, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, get the conference championship ring.
I think every single one of those guys on that team would admit that they would not have won if I hadn't been on the team.
Love it.
Respect.
Absolutely. So
that was a joke.
When did you turn professional?
I turned pro. So I graduated in 2015. So I turned pro in like July of 2015.
Okay.
I played a little amateur stuff after I turned pro, or after I graduated, and then I turned pro. Mm-hmm. So
okay, so how's that journey been so far?
Oh, it's been a grind, man. I can totally relate to the missed 8 cuts that Adam Long had. To say that, but it's been fun. It's been, you know, I've been young enough, and I'm still young enough to try and pursue it. So
mm-hmm.
That's what I keep telling myself to try and do it. And just like Adam Long proved, it just takes 1 week. And you never know.
Right. It's important to keep making cuts. Right.
Right.
Like especially on mini tours. Yep. I mean, obviously, you would love to go out there and win.
Yep.
Which I think you will.
Yep.
Hopefully, right. We will. Yep.
Appreciate that. If you want to invest, just let me know.
We'll maybe see how the podcast goes.
Yeah, maybe we could get some Golf Smart funding here. KJ, where you at?
Yeah, come on, KJ. Yeah, KJ and the guys at Golf Smart. We'll get you the plug.
Yeah. Funny story about KJ for a second. Me and yeah. KJ played tournament baseball growing up, too, before we both played golf.
Really?
We went way back, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then so he showed up at a tournament one day at a high school event, and I was just like, what the hell are you doing here?
You shouldn't be allowed on a golf course.
Yeah. Freaking
yeah! I still don't think he should be allowed on golf course.
Definitely not.
No. Man, the one time when I was playing with him, we were playing for some small, inordinate amount of money, and I just birdied like 4 of 6 holes, and then I made a bomb on the 7th hole, mm-hmm. and he was holding the flag, he was already in it, and he just looked at me with a dead, just ass glare, and he just dropped the pin and walked away.
Not much has changed.
No, yeah, that sounds kind of similar to what he did to us tonight when we said we're recording tonight. He just kind of dropped the pen and walked away.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. He did it to me again, I guess.
That's brutal. Yeah, that's twice.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you piss him off or anything?
I don't know, man. I haven't heard from him in forever.
So what's the biggest thing you've learned as a professional? I mean, because obviously I feel like college golf, Preston was at least telling us, it's very structured.
Yeah,
you go to class, you go to practice, coach kind of has a practice mm-hmm. schedule laid out. What's the biggest thing you've learned as a pro?
Well, for one thing that you don't realize I think a lot of college golfers would say this, especially when if they don't turn pro and they don't get, you know, brand sponsorships or anything, is golf's expensive as hell,
mm-hmm.
right? You get all these free balls, you get free shirts. And all of a sudden, you're out of college. You don't get any of that, right? That's kind of a smack in the face when you're, but the biggest thing golf wise for me is, man, just making putts. When you get out on the mini tour like that, all those guys can hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can hit it. I mean, sure, you're gonna have, you know, your Brooks Koepkas and your DJs, but everyone can hit it good. It's all about making putts and wedge play.
Wow.
I think Justin Thomas was quoted saying that the difference between the web and the PGA Tour is the wedges. And it's true. All those guys that have success on the mini tours and web tours get the ball in the hole. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily hit it the farthest.
Have you seen any, in terms of course setups, are the course setups harder? Like, are the pins a little bit closer to the edge of the green?
Oh, absolutely,
opposed to the middle?
Yeah, they definitely are. There's some days where I walk off and I'm really pissed off at the guy who set the pins that day, but yeah, they definitely set it up hard, and man, those guys still take it low. I mean, it's crazy.
When you're going into tournaments, I remember even being kind of any tournament you're playing, you kind of have those first tee jitters.
Mm-hmm.
Is that increased when you know you're playing for money and there's kind of more out like on the line, or what's kind of your mindset as far as just like handling nerves and stuff?
I'm probably not the one to ask, but yeah, I mean, I still get, I mean, if you don't have the nerves, you shouldn't be playing because it doesn't matter to you. But I mean, it's not necessarily the money for me. It's more like, holy shit, these guys are really good. And it's questioning myself if I can keep up with these guys, mm-hmm. which I know physically I can do it. It's just a matter of going out and doing it. And right. So it's not necessarily the money. Now, if you put me on the PGA Tour for $10 million or whatever their purse is for, sure, you'll start thinking about that.
Right.
But when it comes, for me, it's just a matter of proving to myself that I'm as good as these guys.
Right, and that you belong.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of clubs are you playing with these days?
I've got mostly TaylorMade now. I got some Vokey wedges, okay. But the TaylorMade 790s irons. And I've got the old school M1 driver.
Still M1. You haven't switched over to M3, M4?
Nope, not yet. I need to do that.
With the twist face technology? I didn't know what that was, and Preston started making fun of me.
Yeah, well, yeah. About it. You didn't know what the twist face was?
No, we were all enlightened last week.
Wow. Yeah. Now they got the screw on the twist face too. Man, y'all are...
Well, look,
here's the thing. We're podcasters. We're not golfers.
Right. We're turning into the Weekend Warriors, Trey. We need to... Yeah, I just play whenever the weather's nice.
Fair enough.
I'm literally a fair weather golfer. The weather has to be fair.
That's fair.
For me to play.
You got any like good luck superstitions you do before a tournament?
I used to listen to two specific songs in college my senior year when I was playing my best. But then I stopped doing that, so maybe that's why I haven't had as much.
What were they?
Oceans by Hillsong and then The Man. I'm the man. You got to get your confidence up, man.
Yes.
Aloe Black?
Huh?
Aloe Black?
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's big time.
I would literally, that was my routine every time.
Love it. Yeah, would you just have those two on repeat?
Well, Oceans is like 10 minutes because I have a specific version that I listen to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't on repeat. It was, I'd figure out about how far I was from the course and then I'd time it right. So.
Okay. Nice.
I'm kind of putting you on the spot for this one. This may not be as much rapid fire, but what's one of your best and one of your worst golf memories?
One of my best golf memories. My favorite memory on the golf course. So I don't remember what year it was. I've been to the Masters a few times, right? So the year that Phil...
Soft flex, no big deal.
So y'all remember the year that Phil, he won, but on Saturday he went eagle, eagle, and then missed an eagle on 15? Do y'all remember that? He holed out on 14?
Yes.
Me and my dad were right behind the green when he made that shot on 14.
That's cool.
It was...
That's badass. It
was, yeah, and I just remember looking at him, and he's all like, he's losing his shit, which he doesn't do very often, and I'm losing my shit, and we're like, yeah, baby, let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And then the next day, Tiger holed out on 7, and we were right behind. We didn't have as good a view as on that one. But that one on 14, we were right behind the hole.
That's really cool.
Yep. It was.
That's an interesting place because not many people sit behind 14.
Like, oh, I love 14.
Yeah, they'll either go down the 15, 16 right there.
That's why you don't go there because everyone goes there. You got to find the spots that – because, I mean, 14 is a really good spot right behind the green in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, because then you just go the 18T.
Yeah.
Right there.
17, nice. 17 green, 18T. Let's see, worst golf memory. I don't really have a worst golf memory. I got a story. I mean,
let's hear it.
I was playing in the State Am, Texas State Am. I don't remember what year it was, but it was supposed to be at a, gosh, I can't remember what golf course it was, but I had just played my practice round up in Dallas somewhere. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lakewood. It was at Lakewood.
Ooh, Lakewood, yeah.
Lakewood, like 2011 or 12.
That's low-key a pretty tough course.
It is.
Short.
It's like a good one.
Old classic timey course, but yeah, definitely.
So
yeah, shout out to Lakeway.
So this year, it had been on 2011 or 2012, and I had just finished my practice round. And for whatever reason, me and my dad was with me. We had both driven our own cars up there, though.
Mm-hmm.
And this little itty-bitty storm cell. I mean, it couldn't have been wider than this building. Just hammers down with softball-sized hail.
Oh, no.
I mean, it was gnarly. And it totaled my dad's car, and it beat my car to hell. I had to get my windshield replaced, all that. But it destroyed the greens at Lakewood.
Right.
So we had to move to another course, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first bit of it. My dad's car's total.
We're just getting started.
Greens are beat to hell, and which was unfortunate because that's a really good golf course, like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So played awful, missed the cut.
It happens,
right? So I was gonna stay for another amateur event up in Dallas, right?
Right.
So Sunday night, I'm supposed to play Monday. Get up. No, it was Saturday night. Get up Sunday morning. We're with families up here at this point. We're just going to go to IHOP, get some breakfast or something. And we get down there. My window's busted out. Clubs are gone.
No.
Absolutely. Both me and my dad's clubs were gone.
Oh, gosh.
We're gone. So I'm just like in a pity party at this point. I'm just like, woe is me. Like, I just want to go home.
And Trey's never been back to Dallas since.
Yeah. So that's the second part of the story. There's three parts to this story.
Oh, God.
So I decide, screw it, I'm going to drive home. And my back windshield is all busted to hell, put a tarp over it. And I'm driving in these back roads, back to Houston. Everyone else stayed and played because I was the only pansy and went home and felt sorry for myself. Both my sisters ended up playing. And as I'm driving home, I'm in like Hearn or Calvert or one of those small towns. Mm-hmm. Get a speeding ticket.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
What a week.
Yeah, it was quite brutal. You're right. I'm not a fan of Dallas because after that, that ruined it for me.
So when it rains, it pours, or when it hails fucking hard. Absolutely. And totals your car. Yep. And steals your clubs. Yep. And gets you a speeding ticket.
That's absolutely what.
So what's your favorite course?
My favorite course? I love Spyglass.
Spyglass.
My dad hates that I love Spyglass, but I love Spyglass.
I love Spyglass, too. Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
It's so interesting, because I know KJ's favorite course is Spanish Bay.
Is it?
So the listeners, if you have a chance to go to Monterey Peninsula and play golf, I mean, definitely play Pebble Beach, because it's Pebble. Definitely play Spyglass, Spanish Bay. If you get a chance to play Poppy Hills or Monterey, is it?
Monterey Peninsula?
Yeah.
You're not getting on that one.
Well,
They're
don't
like
they have a Monterey public course?
So it's called Del Monte. I was just about to say something about it. Del Monte, it is the oldest golf course west of the Mississippi.
Wow.
And it is a gem. It is a hidden gem. It's probably about 6,500 yards. Mm-hmm. And you can walk out of there shooting 82 and you'll be like, what the hell happened? you look at it on the scorecard and you're like, man, I should shoot 65 every time on this thing.
Right.
But it is an absolute gem. It's a great course. It's cheaper than the others.
Okay.
It's an easy walking course, and it's just really, and it, you know, the weather's always great over there. So it's just, if you just want to get out and you don't want to go spend all the money on the other ones, just go to Del Monte. It's spectacular.
Well, we don't really walk these days anymore. At least me and T-Bone don't.
Well, maybe you should.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. There's no place to put the beer.
They have carts. You get a cart.
Well, yeah. Moral of the story is, if you have a chance to go to Monterey Peninsula and play any of those golf courses, do it. It is so great. It's truly spectacular. And it really is beautiful. It's beautiful out there. So, okay, a couple quick rapid-fire questions. What's your favorite club in the bag?
Oh, my putter.
Your putter?
Absolutely.
What are you working with?
It's one of the Odyssey Works, the Fang one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nice. How far does your stock 7-iron go?
172.
172.
I need
that
extra 2 yards.
Well, you kind of answered the music question earlier. What's an app on your phone that you use the least?
That I use on my... Let me take a look. It's definitely not the email app.
It better not be your podcast app either.
Yeah,
download 300 Par.
Yeah.
Okay. While you're doing that, what's your favorite room in your house?
Oh, it's my room. I still live at home, baby. Absolutely. For real, that's been a real blessing, is living at home. Right. But that's where I spend all my time, is in my room. So it's my room.
Okay. Your room? Okay. So what's the app on your phone that you use the least?
I don't, like, of the common ones, I don't get on YouTube very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
YouTube.
I mean, I use YouTube, but...
Right.
You want that full screen on the laptop kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Pretty much. Yeah,
I feel that.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Trey, for coming in.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate it. Where can people follow you on Twitter and Instagram? Keep track of your progress.
They can follow me at Trey Cassidy on Twitter, and same thing on Instagram. I'm not very active on it, but I am on there. So
hey, we'll get that ratio up after we drop this podcast.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Get some more followers. Everybody listening, go follow Trey. Trey's been a really good friend throughout the years, and we're definitely rooting for you, man.
I appreciate it.
Hopefully you'll be up there on the PGA Tour here pretty soon.
Yep, that's the goal. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got to make it on the Houston Open. We need tickets.
All right, yeah.
So, yeah.
I'll call y'all.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Call y'all for bringing me on here for sure.
Absolutely. So we want to do a couple quick things before we close here. Happy birthday to Jack Nicklaus. At least at the time of his recording, it is his birthday.
79.
The GOAT we mentioned earlier.
Yep.
The GOAT. He is 79 years old. Or years young.
Years young.
And he can still probably definitely break his age. #goals.
Yeah. I would think so.
Happy birthday to Jack Nicklaus. We have our John Daly quote of the day.
Oh, let's hear it.
John Daly. He said, "I was never able to have 3 or 4 beers. One's too many and 10 just ain't enough. Basically, it's the way I've been since high school."
Respect. I love that.
John Daly, the walking content machine.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. So we're going to wrap it up. Please subscribe and write us a review and give us a 5-star rating because we want to hear from you. the listeners on how we're doing. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 3underparpod. That is the number 3underparpod. And we all have access to it, so it could be any one of us that will respond to you, but we will definitely respond to you, and we will give you the follow back in 48 hours or less, because we are hashtag team follow back.
Love it.
Thanks again for listening to the 3underpar podcast, and remember, little white ball is life.